Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. Father, we thank you for the sunlight that's outside today, for the changing and the fall colors, Lord. We thank you that no matter what sort of turmoil happens in our world, that you are still God and that you are still good. And Father, we can rest on your faithfulness. Father, we ask that you would just come and that you would be here with us today, that your spirit would just fill this place, Lord. Father, that hearts would be open and receptive to hear what Pastor Josh has to say. I ask that you would have your hand upon him as he comes to give us your message. And Father, above all, I just ask that you would be glorified in everything that we do and say here today. In the name of Jesus, we ask all these things. Amen.
Amen. Welcome to River of Hope this morning. It's our honor and our pleasure to have you choose to join us this morning to praise and worship our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a beautiful day so far. I'm gonna do a quick. Last week I said I was gonna take today off preaching, and I am. Pastor Josh, our children's pastor, is going to share with you this morning. I shared that I was going to be running in the Tough Mudder yesterday, which we did, and Dwayne's back there. He hauled me through most of it, and we survived, and we're walking, we're moving. I'm moving okay right now. I'm not sure how tomorrow is going to fare yet, but we're here, we're doing well. And I just got to say, it was gray, it was cloudy, it was rainy, and it was windy. That was yesterday in our fun, adventurous day running the crazy man Tough Mudder. Anyway, that's my explanation for not preaching this morning. And actually, we love to give Josh an opportunity and a chance to preach. He does an awesome job. And we are honored that we have such a gifted children's pastor that we can have serving in just about any area of ministry here at River of Hope. I need all of the kids that work with Josh regularly on Sunday morning to come forward, please. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you do anything crazy. We're not going to do any dance moves or any crazy songs, but I need you guys to come up here. We're going to do something fun this morning. Josh is going to come up. Actually, the kids are going to come up here, and as the kids are coming up, I completely forgot to take up offering this morning. So I'm going to do that quick before we do this next thing, and the kids are getting ready. So let's bow in a word of prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. Lord God, I thank you that you have given us another day, another breath to serve you, to glorify your name. Father God, we ask that you would just take this offering as we give back to you from what you have so graciously blessed us with, the provision, Lord, of our gifts, our talents, our skills, our finances, our food, our shelter. Lord, we give back to you. We ask that you would receive it and that you would bless it, Lord, that you would multiply for your kingdom's purpose. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as the kids get all situated, isn't this an awesome group right here? We have an awesome, beautiful group of young influencers growing up under the leadership of our children's pastor, and I'm way ahead of myself bringing the kids up here, but that's okay because you guys get to stare at them a little bit longer. I'm going to do announcements real quick. Life groups kicked off this past Wednesday. I've heard that they do build off of each other, but if you join in a little bit later, you will still be good to continue learning new things in the Think Differently series. This is written and Pastor James McDonald, awesome pastor. You may hear him on the radio if you listen to Christian radio in the during the day. Travis and Lynette are leading that study, and I know for a fact that they are willing to have more people join them each Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8. If you are available, please join that group. That's going to be an awesome study. October 22nd and 23rd, we are making a weekend out of our kind of grand opening, open house kickoff. October 22nd is going to be a concert by Awaken the Desolate, which is fronted by our very own worship leader, Alexa. I've seen some pictures going around on Facebook that there's going to be some lights and things like that that you're not used to seeing here. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We will let you know as soon as a time is set for that. I will tell you this, the coffee bar will be open leading up to the concert. So if you need a coffee on that Saturday night and you want to hear some good Christian rock music, come out to that. Alexa and her band would really love your support. I hear, is there going to be a costume contest? Yes? All right. So appropriate, family-friendly, appropriate costumes are welcome for a potential to win a new band merchandise t-shirt. That is going to be October 22nd. October 23rd, we're just going to have kind of a celebratory service. We will be having a missionary speaker come in that day, but we're going to celebrate nonetheless. And I believe we are hoping and praying that everything is still on schedule for that new sign that you guys so generously helped us start the process on. That should be in by that service. And so we're going to do a little bit of a celebration over that coming in. And lastly, today following service, parents, this is awesome. You get to leave your kids here under the supervision of Josh and Lacey. They met their BGMC fundraising goal. Was it for a quarter or was it a month? How do you guys run that? Okay, so like a two-month period, they met that goal. And so Josh and Lacey throw them a party. So they're getting pizza and a movie. So you guys get to leave them here for a couple hours to go out and have lunch. Maybe you need to grab somebody here and go have lunch with somebody else today. But do that. Take your opportunity to leave them here so they can enjoy pizza and the movie and take your couple hours of freedom. We'll leave it at that. Remember to come and pick your kids back up. I know they'll tell you that at 2 p.m. So at 2 p.m. they'll be wrapping up. Come back and pick up your kids. That would be good. Okay, now the reason I brought the kids up. Guys, we're going to do something cool for Josh today because Josh has worked really hard in studying and his schoolwork and getting all of his studies completed. So Josh, would you come forward, please? Go give that to Josh. So this is a certificate of completion from our district school of ministry that has been sent to us from the dean of instruction, Dr. Rick Painter, who is the head of our district school of ministry. And he asked us to just kind of do something a little bit special for Josh in recognition of him completing his studies. And I got to say, we are blessed and honored to have Josh and his wife Lacey here, serving here, volunteering here. And just honestly giving everything they have to help you guys learn and grow in your faith and in your love for Jesus Christ. So guys, would you give Josh a hug or give him a hand clap or something and thank him for being your pastor? All right, kids, you guys can go sit down. Josh, the pulpit is yours.
I don't know if you can tell, but that means a lot to me. River of Hope has made Lacey and I feel so welcome from the first time that we stepped through here. I had tears in my eyes when Lacey said to me, "I like it here. This is home." And when I said to Lacey, I said, "If you want to move to Medford, let's do it. Let's put our house on the market." And she said, "Do it." I called that morning and told the realtor, "We're selling the house. Put it up on the market." We're blessed beyond words to be here. And I try to compose myself here as I... A couple weeks ago, I spoke to you about Gideon and how Gideon trusted God his whole life, and God gave him these great victories. And our Christian walk is a war. We are in a war, and we fight lots of little battles. Pardon me, I have all my scripture on this. And I want to learn today, I want you to learn today is that you may go through this whole war and come out as a victor in the end, but you may lose the final battle and die in defeat. I want you to see that can happen. I want to show you ways of preventing that from happening. I don't want any of us to go into eternity on a down note. I want us to go into eternity as victors. So, my title of my sermon today is Dying in Defeat, Lessons from the Life of King Asa. So let's go with prayer and then we'll start. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for this church, for these people, your church. We thank you for the ability to minister here. I pray now as I get into your word that you'll halt anything you don't want me to say and open up my mouth to speak what you want to hear. I pray that this message will touch lives and that people will walk away changed. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, Asa was the king of Judah, and he was the fifth king that actually came out of the house of David. Now, for those of you who don't know, Israel was to the north, and then Judah was to the bottom. Now, they supposedly served the same God, but at different periods throughout history, they fell away. And that's what we're going to kind of hear about today as Judah takes over. Judah was the great-grandson of King Solomon. Asa was the great-grandson of Solomon. So he comes from a long line of very godly men. Most of you know King Solomon. He was one of the wisest men. God said, I'll give you riches or I'll give you wisdom. And Solomon said, well, give me wisdom. And God was so pleased with that answer, he gave Solomon both. Solomon, towards the end of his life, though, he had married lots of different women for various reasons to strengthen his nation, to form treaties. But as the Bible often says, don't be in a yoke of unbelievers. Because he had these unbelieving wives from different countries, they started to bring in idols. And late in his life, Solomon gave in to idol worship. And so when Asa took over, if you have your Bibles, open them up to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. That's where we're going to start. So when Asa took over, idol worship was ingrained in Judah. But the Bible says that Asa did what was right in the eyes of God. So when he took over, the first thing he did was he purged the country of idolatry. He took out the foreign altars. He broke down the high places. The high places where people would set up their idols and they would go there to make their sacrifices and they'd worship a false god. They worship things made out of stone or wood or metal or gold. And we all know there's only one true God. And this really bothered Asa. So he started knocking all these things down. He took out the incense altars. He even cut down the Asherim. Now, I'm not certain what that was. I'd look this up. An Asherim was like a cloth that people worshipped. It was a female goddess that people just made up out of their heads that they were worshiping. And Asa said, no more. We're done with all this. We're getting rid of all these idols. And because of this, God granted Judah peace. And Asa said, well, since there's peace, I know this isn't going to last because peace never lasts, ever. He says, let's start building up our cities. So they start building up their cities and they start fortifying them. And in verse 7, I want to pay particular attention because of what he says. And he said to Judah, let's build these cities and surround them with walls, towers, and gates and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. So why was the land theirs? Because they sought God. He came in, he said, no more idols, take them all down. Broke all these things down. And because they sought God, they were given peace in the land. But peace doesn't last. It's never going to last in this side of heaven. Until eternity, there will never be peace. If you ever hear people saying there's going to be peace, they're lying or they're wrong. There will never be peace. It's just not going to happen. So Asa builds up an army, and he gets 300,000 men from Judah, 280,000 men from Benjamin, and they're ready to go to work. And then the Ethiopian army came against them. Now listen to how many men they had. They had 1 million men and 300 chariots. So imagine being outnumbered in this battle. Now we're outnumbered in our battles too. We're outnumbered every day. We're going up against a foe who wants nothing less than to completely destroy us. Hear this. Satan wants you to be down and broken and not get back up, because he knows the second you get back up and fight for God, you're going to do great things for the kingdom. And that's the last thing he wants. And Satan's plan was to destroy Judah completely, because they were starting to worship the one true God again, and they were getting power back. But Asa relies upon God to help him. And I love what he says here. In verse 11, Asa cried out to the Lord his God, "O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. In your name we have come against the multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Let not men prevail against you." Now I want you to look what the Bible says next. "So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians." Who defeated them? Did Asa? No. God defeated the Ethiopians because Asa said, "God, we're calling upon you, we're relying upon you, we don't have the strength to fight this battle." God gave them a great victory that day, and they were allowed to plunder. They carried away sheep and camels and gold and silver, and the gold and silver they put in the God's storehouse for him. And they kept it there. As we move on to 2 Chronicles 15, it gets even better. Now, I am horrible at Bible names, so if I pronounce these wrong, please don't send me a message later. But in 15 verse 2 of 2 Chronicles, so chapter 15 verse 2, it says, "Azariah, the son of Obed, gives Asa a prophecy," gives him a word. This is, you'll hear this a lot. If you go to any conferences, you'll hear the Pentecostals saying, "How many of you got a word from God today?" I get them. I know Pastor Jesse, Pastor Amanda have gotten them. The men at the conference, did you get a word from God? And this is all this is. Here he's speaking through a prophet. And he says, "The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. If you are with him, he'll be with you. But if you forsake him, he'll forsake you." Here's another thing I want you to remember. What Asa does immediately. In verse 8 says, as soon as he heard these words, he took courage. Makes a lot more sense if you hear courage, not carriage. He took courage and put away the detestable idols from the land. Here is how you need to respond when God gives you a word. You don't cower in fear. You don't run and hide. You stand and take courage. If God tells you to do something, you stand up and say, "I'm on it, God." Because if he's laying it out for you, he's going to lead you through that. God tells him, "If you're with me, I'm with you." So Asa says, "All right." He puts away all the idols. He repairs the altar of God so they can, remember, this is Old Testament, so they're still sacrificing. We know when Jesus came, he was the ultimate sacrifice. We no longer have to sacrifice. But back then, sacrifice was something they had to do because nothing could completely atone for their sins the way Jesus did for us. So he rebuilt that altar. Then he made everybody swear an oath upon death that they would only serve the one true God. And I think this is the most bravest thing he did. His mother, who was the queen mother, was worshiping a false idol. Asa said, "You're done." He kicked her out. He tore down all the images she had put up and burned them. That is a man who has courage. He heard the word of God given to him. He responded in courage. He did not back down. He went forward with it, and he carried it out, all to the point of even taking down his own mother. The Bible tells us that Asa's heart was truly was wholly true all of his days. So all of his days, Asa's heart was searching after God. It was true to God. And there was peace in the land until the 35th year. What did I say earlier about peace? It never lasts. And in the 36th year, the king of Israel at that time was, I want to say Baasha. It's B-A-A-S-H-A. And he went and he rebuilt a city that's right on the border of the two countries. It's called Ramah. He rebuilt this city. We're in 2 Chronicles 16 now, sorry. He rebuilt this city. And what this did was, see, people in Israel were upset that they weren't worshiping God, the one true God. And so they were coming down into the capital city of Jerusalem to worship. Well, this upset Baasha. So he builds up Ramah. He rebuilds this city, and effectively this stops people from coming or going between the two countries. In today's vernacular, he built the wall. He built this up. Now Asa loves God, and he wants people to be able to come down and worship God if they want to, the one true God, in their capital city, in the temple. He wants this to be able to happen. So what does Asa do? Does Asa get back on his knees and pray to God? "God, my enemies are stopping your people from coming to worship. Please remove this." The Bible doesn't say why he does this. Maybe he was just fed up. Maybe after the great victory he had and all the years of peace, he forgot what God could do for him. But Asa decides that he knows better than God. And he goes into the treasury, God's treasury that they had stored up. He takes out the gold and silver from there. He sends them over to the king of Syria. And his name, he'd think they could have easier names. Ben-Hadad. I'm guessing that's what it is. But he bribes him. And he says, "I know you have this treaty with Israel, but here's a whole bunch of money. Cancel your treaty with them, align with me, and attack them." Well, the king of Syria, not being a godly man, counted up the money and said, "That's more than they were giving me." Okay. So he goes through and he attacks Israel, and they get the victory, and they destroy Ramah. And they take away the wood and the stone, and they use it to fortify more of their cities. Now, was this a good thing Asa did to allow people to come back into Jerusalem to worship? It was a great thing, but he went about it the wrong way. You can do great things, but if you're relying on your own strength and not waiting for God, or you're going against God's will by taking out his treasures, you're still in the wrong. I was watching videos of the Tough Mudder from yesterday. And what I routinely saw was men not relying on their own strength to get over these obstacles, but instead reaching out to grab hold of a hand to be pulled up. Asa decided, I can do this on my own. I don't need your hand, God. And instead of going over the obstacle, he just kind of went around it. He plundered the city. Well, God had a very specific answer for Asa. We find this in 2 through 6. That might be the wrong one. Oh, 7. So, Hanai the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord the God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army of very many chariots and horsemen? Yet you relied on the Lord, and he led them into your hand. This is another thing you need to remember. As you go forward, as you're facing new battles, you're facing new struggles, you're in this war, look back to what God has already done for you. I've talked to a lot of you personally. I know a lot of your great victories that God has led you through. When you're facing with a new war, instead of thinking, how am I going to get through this on my own? Look back and say, God's led me through tougher than this. Surely he will lead me through again. So Hanai proclaims a judgment. For the eyes of the Lord have run to and throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You've done foolishly in this. For from now on, you will have wars. Remember, when Asa was seeking after God, when his heart was right with God, they had years and years of peace. Even when the huge army came up, he relied on God, and God took them out, gave them into his hand. The Lord won the victory. Well, now Asa hears, you fall in the way. This is going to be your judgment now. I find it interesting how Asa responds. Now, here's how you need to respond when you fall away from God and he corrects you and gets you back. Repentance. Just ask for forgiveness what you did and get back on the right path. But that's not what Asa does here. What Asa does is he hears the judgment and it angers him. So he takes Hanai and throws him in prison and locks him up there. And then he takes out his anger on his own people and starts treating them cruelly. How much better would it have been for Asa if he had just repented and turned back to God? Oh, but Asa gets stubborn-hearted. And in his 39th year, he gets a disease in his feet. The Bible says Asa still wouldn't seek God. He wouldn't ask God for healing. He wouldn't pray to God. Instead, he went to all his physicians. And his physicians could not heal him. Now, the Bible is not saying, do not go see a doctor. Never in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not go see a doctor when thou was sick. But it does say, go to the elders of your church and have them pray over you. Luke was a doctor. Jesus can heal, but we also have doctors for us. Please don't take this as I'm saying never see a doctor. No, doctors are very important. They help. You know, we believe in divine healing, but we also believe in doctors. We're not saying it's one or the other. You can do both. But he just wouldn't seek God at all. So in the 41st year of his life, he died. Asa, who did all these wonderful things that we just read about. But yet, what he's remembered for is for dying in defeat. Pun intended there. Give it a second, I'll see. He died in defeat, yeah. That is not how I want any of us to go out. I want us to ride into eternity on a high note, not a low note. Before I bring this down to a personal level, I want to apply this to a national level. America was founded by people who are a lot like Asa. They were not perfect, but they all had one thing in common. They truly loved God. They sought after God. Before they decided to found this new nation, they prayed for God's will and for his guidance. When they wrote the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, they based it off of biblical principles. Did they get some things wrong here and there? Yes. Like I said, they were not perfect. They were men. I do not deitize the founding fathers at all. But I look back and I can clearly see this country was founded upon godly principles by men who love God. Because they relied so heavily upon God, outnumbered in the Revolutionary War, God granted them a victory. Those of you who are history buffs will know this, but in 1812, the British came back. They weren't happy that we succeeded in revolting because they knew this would cause others to revolt and they would lose their empire. So they came back and they marched upon the capital city at the time and they started to burn the White House. And then you know what happened? It was the wrong time of the year in the wrong part of the country, but a tornado popped up, put out the flames of the White House, and drove the British away. Does that not speak the hand of God to anybody else but me? George Washington, I read up on him when I was getting ready to do this, was a man devoted to prayer. At Valley Forge in the winter, his men would see him kneeling in the snow, asking God for guidance. He carried around a prayer book in his pocket at all times. When the war ended, when he went back home, he prayed that he would never have to go back again. He wanted to go back and be a farmer. That's what he wanted to do. But then people said, "We need you to come back and lead this country." He prayed about it and felt God was leading him back. He was a man devoted to prayer. God continued to bless this nation. That's how America became a superpower that it is. It's through God's blessing. There's no other way this is going to happen. God continued to bless this nation and bless this nation and bless this nation. It became a superpower and eventually a huge player on the global stage. But then something happened. Can you bring up Deuteronomy 8, 12 through 14 for me? As the Israelites were getting ready to go into the promised land, this is what God warned them. He said, "I'm going to lead you into a land of milk and honey with vines and fig trees and pomegranates. And you're going to reproduce and multiply." He says, "Lest when you've eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up. And you forget the Lord your God, who brought you to the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground, where there was no water, who brought water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and my might and my hand have given me this wealth.'" Somewhere along the line, America has forgotten that God blessed them. This was spoken directly to Israel. what we can apply to us today. Instead of looking around and seeing all we have, instead of saying, God has given us this, we said, look what my hands and my hard work and my back has provided for us. America has slowly pushed God further and further back as it lifts up immorality and calling that the new normal. When it's getting to the point where someone says to you, you cannot tell someone they are sinning, something is wrong. When it gets to the point where we have to walk on eggshells so we don't offend people who are dying in their sins, something is wrong. I love America. But it is very clear to me as I look around, God is quickly removing the blessings from this nation, and it is going to start going into judgment if it has not already. God is not a God to be mocked or to be trialed with. When you disobey God, there are consequences. When you obey God, there are blessings. I am with you if you are with me, but if you forsake me, I will forsake you. America is starting to forsake God more and more and more. We are pushing him to the back burner. We live in a nation divided now along political and racial lines. We have cities who are literally under siege because of the amount of melanin in people's skins. If you don't know what melanin is, that's what gives you the pigment in your skin. Obviously, someone like me has less melanin than other people. There's no such thing as race. There's one race, there's Adam's race that we all descended from. I listen to the politicians on both sides, and this is what I hear. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll make this country great again. Let's turn back to God. Let him make this country great again. What's with all these I statements? Who are we relying on? We're no longer relying on God's strength. We're saying, in my own strength, I will rebuild America and make it great again. America has a problem. It's not a cop problem. It's not a race problem. It's not an economy problem. It's not a political problem. America has a God problem. God is angry. Yes, God is love, but God is also a God of anger. And when you turn your back so long from God, he's going to get angry. And now America is sitting on a huge problem with God because they have forsaken him. I hate to tell you this. Go out and vote. Please go out and vote. But if you are putting your faith in any candidate out there, whether main party, third party, independent party, you are putting it in the wrong place. If you are putting your faith to fix this nation in a political movement, or if you protest enough, or if you don't go to work enough, you are putting your faith in the wrong place. There is no man, no child, no political movement that can fix this nation. Like Asa, America, our feet is diseased. And like Asa, we have two simple choices. We could turn back to God, rely on his strength to bring us back to the great power we once were. Or we could ignore God and continue to rely on our own strength to save us. America has a God problem. And unless America turns back to God, America will die in defeat the same way Asa did. America will not be thought of as the great nation who did all these great things. They'll be thought of the nation that left God So God left it. Now, right now, that may look like a great thing to most people as we become more tolerant. We need to be tolerant, but we need to also show God's love. God hates sin. That is plain and simple. God hates sin. God is a God of love, but he hates sin. And if people die in their sins, they go to hell. There is no two ways about this. You can say, I don't want to say something to someone because I might offend them. Isn't it more of an offense that they die and burn in hell? But we have hope. Can you bring up 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. I want America to be healed. I want it to go back the way it was. But the way we're going, it's not going to happen. The way we are headed, that will not happen. America, our feet are diseased. What, as the church, are we going to do about it? Are we going to come here every Sunday and worship God? Or are we going to do what Pastor Jesse keeps telling us to do? To reach out to this community, to reach out to others. I am so pleased when I hear reports that my kids from Kids Church are telling their friends and their neighbors about God. Because this is how it starts. If we want to change this nation, we got to start changing souls. That'll change lives. That'll put things back on the right track. I pray for America. I'm going to bring this back down to an individual level now for you. Like I said, I look around. I see so many great Christians. I mean, John, man, I love you. I mean, by the way, if you don't want the truth, don't ask John a question. Because he will give it to you. And sometimes it hurts. But I tell you what, I have never left John thinking, boy, that, you know, it's something I need to hear. I had the great opportunity to spend some time with the men from this church. And I know that I heard their stories. I mean, Pastor Jesse and Amanda led a concert when they were told they had no money. But God said, go. And they said, go. God led them to this church. And they started out just praying in here. And a few short years later, here we are. In Mill City, they did a relaunch. They had to go to 2 services, maybe 3 now, because it's so big. But even the best of us can fall away. We can fall into defeat. Here's what you do when this happens. The first thing is, if God gives you a word, you take courage. You stand up and you follow through with that word. You don't rely on your own strength to get through these battles. We were not designed to do that. The devil is much stronger than we are. Much stronger in our own body. But you know, Jesus never once told us, fight the devil on your own. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, did he fight the devil on his own strength? He quoted scripture to him. Do you know the devil will flee from the name of Jesus? There is power in that name. You have the blood of Christ covering you. Use that power. Don't rely on your own strength. If it does happen, if you fall into defeat, no matter how it comes up, if it happens to you, do not harden your heart against God then. Do not say, well, I've already done it this way, I'm going to keep doing it this way. True story, before I met my wife, I told God that I knew better than he did. And I was going to go my own way. I was in a relationship I shouldn't have been in. God made it clear to me, I repented from it, Instead of hardening my heart against God, I repented from it. I turned back. And within 2 months, I met Lacey. Within a year, we were married. And now we are here. The end of my story could have been, Josh Cole did all these great things when he was younger, but then he got stubborn, was lonely, fell away from God, and died in defeat. But instead, my story is going to be, Josh Cole did all these great things when he was younger, got lonely, fell away from God, repented from his sins, met a lovely wife, and is now continuing to fight for God. And with God's help, I will go to heaven in victory and not in defeat. If that's where you are right now, if you have turned your back on God, if you have decided you know better than Almighty God does, if you have hardened your heart against him, if you're fighting this battle and you're trying to do it on your own strength, my challenge for you today is to turn back. Turn back to God. I am living proof that he will accept you. And in his time, he will restore you. And in his time, he may even bring you more glory. I don't want you to be like Asa. I don't want you to die in defeat. I don't want America to go down in defeat. You're going to have battles that are going to come up all through this life. Don't let Satan win. Don't let Satan win even one battle. Let's win this whole war. Let's go to heaven in victory. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for these words. I pray that there's any here that are struggling with defeat right now, that they could repent, that they could come back to you. Lord, your grace is all-encompassing. Your love is all flowing. We just need to accept it, to repent, to turn back, and to come back unto you. Lord, we love you, and we give you the honor and the glory. Let us all rely on your strength and not our own to carry us through in all battles. Lord, I ask you to bless the time with the kids today as we get ready for a pizza and a movie. I ask you to bless the parents as they go out and get some time together. I pray you take us all safely home tonight. And carry us through the week with our eyes focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen.